You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I got one here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Now I think I know what bartenders talk about when they say that when their shift ends at like 2 a.m, they're too hyped up when they get home to go to sleep, so they don't start sleeping until like 4:30 a.m. That's how I felt last night after the improv at Dad's Garage.
Your adrenaline was just still pumping?
For sure.
Mine was too. I was just laying in the bed.
Was it not so much fun?
It was. It was a great time.
After I finally got those initial butterflies out of the way, I was able to actually enjoy myself a little bit on that stage.
Kristen realized she picked the wrong month to go dry. She was so... I still can't figure out why you were so nervous backstage. When we do this for a living every single day, and all you had to do is go up there and tell a story from the show that you have told probably 20 times.
I know. So, hi, my name's Kristen. I have generalized anxiety disorder. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
And I put so much pressure on myself. And I was very sober. In a situation like that, I typically would have had at least a glass of wine, or like 1.5. My rule of thumb is if I'm going to be on stage doing anything, whether it's hosting, participating, I allow myself 1 liquid courage, 2, and it's going to go downhill really fast. I was just... You know, I was like the P1s of P1s that were there. And I know it's like a womb of comfort because they know us and they love us, which is why they're there supporting Burt's Big Adventure. But at the same time, I'm just like, I'm going to do something so stupid and we're filming this and it's going to be out there forever. And I'm just going to let everybody down. That's me.
I felt just the opposite. I felt so comfortable until, I'll tell you what happened to me. I was fine for the reasons that you mentioned. These are the most hardcore P1s. We sold this thing out in 48 hours. We were in front of people that knew us and loved us.
Yeah.
And wouldn't let, even if we failed, it was going to be funny to them. And we were working with Dad's Garage that has been around for 30 years doing improv. So they weren't going to allow us to fail either.
Mm-hmm.
So the only part of the night that I got nervous about was Amanda and I were driving down, my girlfriend and I, from Sandy Springs down to Dad's Garage. And she's like, did you have to prepare anything for this? And I'm like, you know what? There was an email that was sent out like 1.5 weeks ago, but I never read it. Will you open it up? And as we're walking down, or as we're driving down there, she opens it up. She's like, you need 2 stories for the improv folks to be able to work around. What stories are you going to tell? I'm like, well, this is the first time I've heard of that. So I started getting nervous on trying to figure out what to talk about.
It wasn't the first time you've heard of it. You heard about it 1.5 weeks ago. You just chose not to read it.
I guess.
When you told me that you found out you needed 2 stories backstage before we went out, that was when I found out that we needed 2 stories.
Why does Tracy even bother sending you guys emails?
She's going to ask herself the same thing. So the format was one of the segments was all of us come up to stage one at a time, and we tell a story from our lives, and then Dad's Garage, which has never heard the story before, we didn't email it to him, clearly, they have to improv around our story. So they did a great job on it.
They did.
Yeah.
They really did. Yeah, they said they were like, we'll take your story and turn it into something that it's not, but it'll be like, you know, a little inspiration for whatever they throw out on the stage.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was quaking in my boots last night. And I know me and Burt were talking about it when I first came in, but like, I don't know if I just hide my anxiety well because I have it all the time. So I have a really good mask. But when I got up to tell my story, I had a death grip on the mic. I was like, I'm holding on to this thing so my legs don't tip me over because I was shaking that hard.
Wow. You said you almost pooped yourself.
I almost pooped myself.
She was that nervous.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. You didn't come off that nervous at all.
No, you have. She and I talked before the show, and I'll say the same thing I told her before. She's got that Mo gift where even if they're nervous, they seem like they're completely and totally courageous. Like, you would never know that you were nervous last night. In fact, after your set, after all of your sets, I saw in real life what I already know in my heart, that I am the least talented member of the
Whatever. Oh, my God.
You guys really did an amazing job, man. Just a great job.
Well, thank you. I thought everybody did phenomenal. I thought the Dad's Garage improv actors did so good. I do have one confession, though. So the story I told last night is the story as old as time, and I've told it time and time and time again on this show. And it's the one of me crawling through a doggy door to bust my boyfriend cheating on me, right? And I'm like, you know, I've told the story a million times, but I've never seen improv actors act it out. So, this is my one and only chance. So as I told the story, and they did a great job or whatever, and I was sitting with the story, there is one aspect of it that I haven't been 100% truthful with you guys about.
All this time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kristen's improv-ing now.
Okay. No, this is legit. So technically, he wasn't my boyfriend at the time. It was actually my ex-boyfriend's house that I broke into.
So that makes you extra sketchy.
Yes.
So you guys weren't even together when you broke into that?
We're on Mission Impossible.
Because we had just broken up, and I wanted to prove he had moved on quickly, which I did. So it still proved to me that he had cheated because there was herbal essence and contact solution in the house, but we had literally just broken up. So it wasn't my boyfriend, it was my ex.
You know what we got to do? Because now you really did. You just retroactively stepped into Psycho.
Yeah.
I think we got to make that part of a segment that people tell us that when they stepped into Psycho in their past and they haven't told the entire truth.
The whole truth?
Yes. Let us change the tone of the story a little bit.
Quite a bit. That was an important detail.
That we actually technically weren't together.
Yes. Yes.
Get it? The Bird Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
I really debated whether or not I was going to bring this up in eBuzz, but I do feel like I've gotten to a point with this specific news story that I've become like a little unhinged to where I start twitching while I'm thinking about it. And I feel like I have stepped into Psycho a little bit with this story about Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively. And so people have been sending me these same screenshots over and over again that I feel like it is worth noting. But I do want to put it out there that this is not a person I would typically bring up in entertainment buzz.
And I want to have your back because I don't think you have stepped into Psycho. I just do feel like this story is all consuming.
It's so layered, and it kind of, even though it isn't about a romantic relationship, it's kind of branded with your podcast also. There's an ugly breakup going on right now.
I love a breakup.
Yeah.
So I've been getting a lot of screenshots, and just let me cook here, from Candace Owens' Instagram story.
Oh,
she has stepped into the entertainment world for some reason. She has ended up on my For You page talking about this case over and over again. And she claims that she has an insider source.
As always.
I know. She has an insider source as to what happened on set. And while whether or not you want to believe her or not, you can take that as you will. It just does add some really interesting layers that I thought would be worthy bringing up.
She doesn't have a whole bunch of credibility, I don't think.
Do you want me to move on?
No. Go for it. I mean, it's entertaining. I just don't take it serious.
Well, whatever source you have, and that goes for anything, they if they have a history, you take that into account. Whenever somebody tells you something, like if you tell me something, I'm going to take it more seriously than if a stranger on the street comes up and tell me something. And I feel like it's here. Like, you know who she is and the things that she has said. And she is saying this. So take it however you feel you need to take it.
It's filling in a lot of blanks for a theory that people have, but they don't really know what the motivating factor would be. So a lot of people feel like Ryan Reynolds might be the true villain in the story, but they can't figure out what his motive would be. And whoever she spoke to has a
motive.
Story as to what the motive would be.
Huh. So, Mo, because we have to live this and we have to read about it every day, we're very familiar with who Candace Owens is. For those that aren't...
She is a polarizing media personality who typically operates in a space of going against the grain with her viewpoints and with things that she says. And sometimes people can't tell if it's to get a rise or if she really feels that way.
Super, super duper conservative.
Yeah, I mean, typically it's like it's about politics because she's a political pundit, right?
Usually. But she kind of dabbles in all celebrity world, but it's usually about politics.
Oh, she loves to piss people off about all kinds of things.
Absolutely lives for it.
So the source that she spoke about on her Instagram story says this person is alleging that everything started when Ryan Reynolds decided to stroll onto the movie set one day and review the dailies. This is an industry term for all the footage that was filmed that day. He then also decided to take a look at the script between the two, and something allegedly set him off. This person claims, and she mentioned she can't verify, that the production assistants then overheard Ryan and Blake having an argument in her trailer. Ryan Reynolds, and this is in quotation from the source, Ryan Reynolds started being on the set on a regular basis as if he were her chaperone, and that is when he started inserting himself into the actual production, including writing lines. The next part is what has been alleged via their lawsuits. Ryan began inserting themselves in an effort to change lines and change scenes, but it gets better. It's clear Ryan was determined to humiliate and, quote, win against Justin Baldoni. He went so far as to include lines in his separate movie, Deadpool. This is when she brings up the whole Deadpool versus Wolverine thing that I'll skip over. But then allegedly, Ryan presented an ultimatum to WME, which is their talent agency that Ryan, Blake, and Taylor Swift are all a part of, including everyone for da da da. It's us or him. That's allegedly what he said to WME. So it was a him, Blake Lively, and Taylor Swift sort of situation. And the source for this is a different source, so she's mentioning that there's some differentiation here. And she said, I would imagine having Taylor Swift as your best friend and godmother to your children certainly helps in these sort of situations. And here's what happened next. Justin was then dropped by WME. And then, what Ryan Reynolds did not apparently account for was someone bigger or perhaps more richer than Taylor Swift would have Justin Baldoni's back. And then he mentions Wayfarer Studios is backed by a billionaire and donates to a lot of good causes.
All right. So as this is all really speculation, right, I'll throw one grain of speculation in there also, which could make sense to me, knowing nothing about this and knowing nothing about how Hollywood works. But I do know this, that if my wife came home to me and was complaining and feeling like she was sexually harassed by somebody all the time, and I had the power to be on the set and protect her, I don't know what has to do with changing lines and stuff like mm-hmm. that, then, and she didn't feel like she could talk to the director and she felt like she didn't have the power, as a husband, I would probably show up on set if I had that kind of power and just make sure that she was safe in any way I could. I'm only throwing that in because I'm speculating, saying anything is possible.
100%. And I think the differentiating account for the tale that she says that she got the source from is that it actually didn't start with Blake Lively feeling uncomfortable. It started when Ryan Reynolds came on set before any of that was alleged and saw something he didn't like and decided to start inserting himself into the narrative in order to assert power over Justin Baldoni because he was jealous because maybe he saw them being flirty on screen and it didn't sit right with him. Again, this is just one source's account. Doesn't make it factual. Just thought I would add another paintbrush to this Picasso painting of this whole entire lawsuit case we got going on.
Until somebody sits all three of them down at the same time, like an after the rose ceremony. And we could ask questions and all of them can kind of confront each other. We will never know. And since that is never going to happen, we will never truly know what happened on that set.
Where is Chris Harrison when we need him? Okay, the person I did want to hear from about this case is an intimacy coordinator. What was their opinion on that improv scene that they both have different accounts for? I'm going to tell you what they said on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
Get it.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The Bird Show.
Oh, it's about to get uncomfortable in here. We call this Plead the Fifth, and it's Mo that is in the hot seat this morning. We have all submitted anonymous questions for Mo that are designed to make him cringe a little bit, make him uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Now, if one of them is over the top, he could always plead the fifth if he's a yeller.
It isn't going to get uncomfortable in here. This man never gets uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I think he prides himself in the fact that you have never once pled the fifth.
That's true. I do. I will not plead today either. I am comfortable being uncomfortable.
Okay. I also think he's smart and he's protective of his relationship. So we will see if the two collide.
All five questions will come from me. Let's get it.
All right, Mo, let's focus on the show with question number one and the segments that we do. What is one bit or segment on the show that you've never admitted that you absolutely hate?
That I absolutely hate.
Now, is the thought process here as you're pausing to take time, which one do I pick? Or is it, are there any for me to pick and I have to pick one?
Nah, there's not a lot of segments that I absolutely hate. I'd say the hardest segment for me is definitely the ones where I rap. Because I think I take it so seriously that it's difficult for me to do it unless I'm like really, really doing it. So I always feel like they're just not good. They don't live up.
You kill it every time.
I don't think they're good at all.
All right, Kristen, will you do me a favor and put that on the schedule for Monday? Spontaneous raps for Mo, right?
Somebody came up to me last night at the improv show, wanted me to bring my Friday recap raps. And she goes, you should go back and forth with Mo. And I said, you should shut up.
I do love when you rap, though, Tommy, so you should.
Yeah, okay. Remember the story you told about you were in Thailand and there was a guy who offered money to buy your girlfriend?
Yes, sir.
What amount of money could you have been offered that was so grand that you and your girlfriend collectively would have said, okay, I'll go for it, and you must pick an amount?
We've actually talked about this.
Okay.
How could you not, after a situation like that, like literally actually presents itself in real life, you have to have that conversation.
I hope you did the smart thing and let her answer first.
Of course.
Okay, because if you come in low, of course, you're in a lot of trouble.
Well, because she said, you know, like, at first, it was, there's no amount of money. And I'm like, come on. Like, let's really think about it. No amount of money for one. Now, what's going to happen in that night, I don't know. I don't never have to know. But I tell you what. That man would have put anything more than $10 million on the table. We'd have had to have a little discussion. Times are hard.
All right. Would she have agreed to $10 million when you guys were talking about it?
Probably not.
She said there was nobody?
She said no and no and no. And then when I said $50 million, she paused.
All right. We're at the halfway point. Mo has yet to plead the fifth. Question number three. What gig could you be offered and you would go to Bert and say, I'd like to get out of my contract?
Ooh.
Oh, that's easy. Going on tour with Dave Chappelle.
Oh, yeah. We would understand that.
Yeah, that would be the one.
I'd say you could still do the show from the road.
I got to focus.
All right, you got to wake up in the morning, do the Bert Show, say hey to Dave for us at night.
Yeah. You know what, Tom? You're done with comedy at night? I would be, like, literally not sleeping.
No, you wouldn't. You'd stay up all night with Dave, and then you get up, you're like, or you not even get up, you just go to a mic and do the show.
Straight to work.
You got a contract.
Question number four. This is not the question, by the way. How many years you been on the show now?
Seven.
Okay. During those 7 years that you've known Bert Weiss, in all of the plethora of ladies that he has dated.
Oh, God. Okay, that's making me uncomfortable, and I'm not even on the hot seat today.
Who among those ladies would you sleep with?
Whoa. That's crazy.
And you must name someone.
Just for the record, you have a green light for all of them except my ex-wife.
Oh, got it. Got it.
You can't offend me with an answer.
I've never seen her, so I don't know what she looks like. But if we're going off of just stories and swag, it would be who put you in Timberlands?
Chandra.
There you go.
She's also one that slapped me in the middle of my own party.
Yep, that sounds about
that's
right.
That's your girl,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's her.
All right, you reached the last.
I can't believe you remembered she put him in Timberlands.
Yeah, that sticks in my head for some reason.
You've reached the last question, and I really hope you answer this question. I hope you don't plead the fifth. Who on the Bird Show do you think is the least culturally sensitive, meaning they know the least about the culture and are ignorant about how America treats minorities?
Oh, damn.
Yikes.
Damn.
I'll go with Bert because he didn't know Richard Pryor was dead. Pretty good. I mean,
okay. Or DMX.
Or DMX.
Four times.
Yes. Yep. There you go. I mean,
Bo, you have gotten through. Plead the fifth.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's the Bert Show.
Get it? The Bert Show.
Your job is really keeping you from a very good morning show. You're going to have to get into work and you're going to miss a lot of the Bert Show. We can't have that. Like later on in the show, we recorded this texting tutor a couple of days ago, and her husband got a very provocative text from a coworker super late in the night. So she wanted our help to text the coworker to say, hands off my man. Okay, so you're going to miss that because you're going to be in work. So just download the podcast. We upload it segment by segment, or you can listen to the whole thing, and you can find the Bert Show on any podcasting platform. You don't got to miss anything. All right, Amber, so you never feel more single than when you are sick, eh?
Yeah, that kind of opens up your eyes when you want someone to take care of you. So I have been single for chronically for quite some time, and I just recently got over the flu, fever, whooping cough. I don't know what it was that's going around.
There's something.
Yeah,
there's,
everybody, man.
It's crazy. I'm congested still, but luckily I'm not contagious, so you guys are safe. But over the weekend, when I had to call in, I was laying in bed. And my dad, he's older. He can help take care of me, but I always feel like I'm a burden because he's older. So I don't ask him for stuff, you know? I don't like to be a bother to people. So anyways, at this moment, I'm like literally hacking up and I'm coughing and I'm achy. And I just want someone to bring me some soup. And I'm watching all these cute little movies. And people are just, when you have someone who loves you to take care of you and rub your back. So when I'm sick, I feel so lonely because there's no one to care for me and like make me feel all love and warm. And I hate that.
I feel like there's certain times when being single will be amplified.
Yes!
Like Valentine's Day, it'll be amplified.
I'm such a bitch on Valentine's
weddings,
Day.
It'll be amplified.
Tuesdays.
It'll be amplified. Having to go to and from the airport, it'll be amplified. But when you're sick and you're like you just want to know that there's somebody that cares about you and wants you to feel better, and I can totally see that happening.
I was literally laying in bed swiping on Hinge and Bumble, sick as a dog. Maybe I can find a match, and maybe she's also a CNA or something.
This might be a me thing, but that would play perfectly. I'm glad I'm in a relationship with the person I'm in a relationship with right now. But when I'm sick, I don't want anybody to touch me. I want everybody out of the room. I don't want help. I don't want anybody in the house. I just want to be miserable by myself.
I'm the complete opposite.
Really? Same.
Yeah, I turn into a baby. Like my girl makes fun of me for that all the time. I completely turn into a kid again when I'm sick.
Oh, man. I want to ask you guys a question. Has there been a time in your, maybe even your 30s or even recently, that you felt not just like, obviously not single because most of you are in relationships, but just felt old? Because that was also a moment where
every day.
When I look in the mirror.
Yeah. When I wake up out the bed.
When my knees are like.
When I'm in the gym and I'm watching some 22-year-old lift 790 pounds and I've got 15-pound dumbbells in my hand.
So when I wake up in my neck, I can't move my neck because I slept wrong on my pillow.
Every day we're we're coming up in the elevator and I look at myself in the reflection of the silver of the elevator. I'm like, damn, you old.
When I stretch, it sounds like Rice Krispies.
Dang. So you have a couple of examples there?
Yeah. We get it is what we're saying.
Yeah. When I'm reading anything and Amanda goes, maybe you need glasses. I'm squinting so badly.
When I have to take a picture of what I'm reading so I can zoom in on it, because even with my glasses, I still can't read it because the font is too small.
So I think the answer to that is yes.
Oh my God. Because I was just going to say I felt really old when I was sick, but you guys nailed it.
There you go. You should feel better now.
Because my knees are feeling like a drive-by. I just could not.
She said she was out there helping people move the cars the other day.
Oh my God.
Because all the snow, and it was 2 days removed from that action. She's like, I am so sore from helping people try to get snow out of their driveway.
I said, my butt hurts so much, I feel like it looks amazing. But I'm a lot better now, but I definitely need to find some love. So the next time I get sick, I ask somebody to rub my back and bring me some soup.
There you go. Call your dad. He's in the next room. Right.
The Bird Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
All right, Abby, you want to try something new this morning? Let's go.
Yeah, so while we were having our break over the holidays, I was recovering from a small procedure at my doctor, so I had a lot of time to binge stuff, and I'm really not a TV watcher, so I was watching Outlander, I was rewatching Bridgerton, and then I found myself on YouTube watching, like, history documentaries and ending up on, like, history TikTok, and little did I know, I'm, like, obsessed with history because it's basically just gossip.
Oh, yeah.
And so I thought, there was one docuseries that I saw that reminded me a lot of a story that I have not been able to shut about in recent days, the Justin Baldoni versus Blake Lively case. And I was looking at some of our founding fathers and I was like, this is the original smear campaign. And so I would like to introduce you to a new segment I'm calling Ye Old Gossip. And I removed my headphones so now I can't hear. Okay, so Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, they were the real white housewives of Philadelphia back in the day. The year, it's 17-something.
And this is history. This is all real.
This is all history.
Okay, this is all history.
I'm going to give it to you like it's the tea, but this is all stuff that happened. This is what the Google said happened.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's how they spilt the tea originally.
They literally did back in Boston. Good history. So the year is 1776, and Thomas Jefferson, we're going to call him TJ, and John Adams, Johnny Boy, they're a part of the founding fathers, and they are besties. They're achieving liberty together. They're signing the Declaration of Independence. friends together. They're hanging out at the pub, hitting on wenches together. They are bros for life. And so after doing all that, you know, they get a little bit older. In 1796, they both run for president. A little contentious because, you know, you're going up against your bestie. That's your homeboy. You don't really want to, you know, tear him down, but you want to win. You want to win the presidency so you go down in American history. So back in those days, the candidate that won, that got the most votes, became the president, and then the runner-up became VP. So it's kind of cool. They're like, listen, bro, we're going to run. Either way, we're both ending up in D.C. So,
which is crazy if you think about, because as you're running against each other, you think attack ads are bad now.
Yeah.
They were attacking each other like that back in the day, too.
So bring this to today.
Yes!
Okay, that makes it a Trump-Harris White House.
Yes!
So, I love it.
Yeah.
Think of the balance.
I don't hate the idea.
She
America does.
No,
does. And so does she. She would turn it down.
I need 24/7 cameras on them at all times. Think of the reality show we would get out of it.
The Big Brother White House.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
We need the Big Brother White House. So it's funny that you should bring up the different parties because Tom, TJ, and Johnny Boy were a part of different political parties. So they ran the country together for 4 years, and their political feud honestly would sound a lot like the kinds that we are having today, because one was a Federalist and the other was a Democratic Republican. None of them really translate to what we have today, but what you need to know is that John Adams is a Federalist and TJ is a Democratic Republican. And Federalists, which is what John Adams was, were really buddy-buddy with Britain. They're like, that accent, pretty sick. We need to keep around with them. I know they'd be eating beans on toast and voluntarily listening to Oasis, but like, they're a global superpower. They're like our original founding fathers. We need to be around them. But they were also kind of elitist. Like, they believed that you needed to make a certain amount of money to vote. And they also believed in policies that made immigration harder. So they're like, we're going to build a wall so big that we can't see any of these poor people. And we're keeping all the uglies and losers out of our country. And then we had the anti-federalists, which is what Thomas Jefferson was.
TJ.
So, TJ. Our boy TJ. So he is basically just opposing all of that. He believed in more of a decentralized government. They wanted more power to the states. So this is when the smear campaign happens, because now it's the election of 1800 and TJ's like, I hated everything we just did. I want to be in power. This guy's a loser. And I'm going to make sure that everybody in the press knows that I'm actually the right candidate for the election of 1800. So TJ was like, Adams, he's kind of cuckoo. He's a little crazy. He's a little mentally unstable. He has fits of rage. And then John Adams was like, okay, well, maybe I'm crazy, but you're a coward. Do you remember the Revolutionary War where you fled Monticello because the British troops were coming after us? Loser. And so it starts off kind of harmless. And then things go from gossip to crazy real quick. Because then Thomas Jefferson's allies are like, he's a hermaphrodite. Not only is he crazy, but he also has boy parts and he also has girl parts.
No way, really?
Yes. So things are getting really below the belt here in the smear campaign.
Seriously.
Literally below the belt. So one of his allies said that he was had hideous hermaphroditeal character.
Oh my God.
Which kind of sounds like a podcast where someone's like, bro's not alpha. We don't need a beta running this country. This is America. We can't be having people with boy parts and girl parts running this country.
The attack ads were like insane back then.
So then John Adams, or little Johnny boy here, is like, you know what's worse than having a pee-pee and a wee-wee? Slavery. You know what's worse than you know what's worse than slavery? Banging one of your slaves. Uh-huh. And that's when the Sally Hemings affair came to light. So the Federalist newspapers came out that started hinting that TJ was getting it on with the baddie down the plantation, and said that they were having an affair and that she fathered some of his children. And so after all that happened, guess who won the election? TJ.
TJ.
We know history. And so that happens. Years go by and they eventually reconcile. They're like, you know what? We really need to put this past feud to bed. And they started writing heartfelt letters to each other.
What?
So you could imagine they'd be like, dear bro, I'm sorry I told America that you were dead and that they wouldn't vote for you. And then TJ would be like, it's okay, bro. I'm sorry I told everyone you had a penis and a vagina. And then they kissed.
No, I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. I rewrote that in there. And then they remained cordial until their deaths, until Adam's final words, because he had made like the original death hoax and told people that he was dead so that they wouldn't vote for him. His final words on his deathbed were, "Jefferson lives." And then weirdly enough, that same day, Jefferson was not in fact living. He had died hours earlier. And what is even crazier, other than the fact that they died on the same day, they died 50 years after they signed the Declaration of Independence. Damn. On July 4th, 1776. Damn. And if that is not the most American death you can think of, I don't know what is. So that is the story of the rise and fall of the bromance of TJ and Johnny Boy.
We all learned something today.
I love it. Well done.
Thank you. Good.
You know what you need to do is one. Here's a suggestion. Darwin, right?
Uh-huh.
And the dude that he was sailing around the world with hated each other so much that Darwin said, "I can't take it anymore. You just let me off right here, right now." And that's where he landed in the Galapagos Islands. And history and evolution was completely changed after that. And it all was because they hated each other so much. And Darwin couldn't stand to be on that boat.
Coming up next week on Ye Olde Gossip.
The Bert Show.
Mo has a problem. And it took 4 million views for him to realize this dude has a problem.
Serious problem. And I realized how much my problem was holding me back in life. And I feel like maybe I could use this story to inspire someone. Because I think a lot of times in life, we just doubt ourselves. And we go through phases of just not believing in yourself. And I think I went through that more last year than I ever have in my life.
Can you pinpoint where that started?
Not really. So that was a part of the journey of trying to get through it. Was, I don't know exactly when it happened, but at some point, I stopped living for myself and started living within the confines of the opinions of other people.
Just the last year. Well, because you've been doing this for a while, and I would assume that at first it's a little jarring to see comments about you when you haven't done it before, but you've been doing it so long now, I think you'd be a little bit callous to it.
Right, and I think that was it, though. See, is in the beginning, I thought the solution, at least for me, was, well, if I don't give them anything to complain about, they can't complain, right? Instead of seeing it like, no, live your life. Mm-hmm. Do you. And I stopped doing me. I started getting in my head with everything, with who I was as a person, with my comedy, even like having shows. I was hesitant to schedule shows because I didn't even want the pressure of trying to come up with content, of trying to come up with jokes that wouldn't offend, mm-hmm. but then would be good. And at some point, I stopped posting like I used to, and I couldn't really figure out why. And I think for a while, I didn't even realize I was doing it until people started bringing it to my attention.
I feel your pain. Cause it's, mm-hmm. it's crazy because you do this for a while and it's like, it's just ebb and flow, right? So you're comfortable in your skin and you're being yourself. And then there's wear and tear of the commentary. Mm-hmm. And you get to a point where you start to get tore down to where your solution is, well, I'm just not going to give them anything to comment on.
And again, we're talking, and when we're talking numbers, the common sense here is, and I've said this so many times, and I hope I'm not boring you, the amount of negative comments that we get are so few compared to the positive ones, but human nature makes you look at the negative ones, and you're looking to completely change things based on a sliver of opinions.
Right.
It's, you know, for self-protection.
Yeah, though.
Absolutely.
I think it's not even a knee-jerk reaction. I think it's just a coping mechanism to protect yourself because you get to a saturation point of whatever you're receiving and you're like, yeah, I need a break from this. And so then you start, it compounds because then you're like, now I'm not living my authentic life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not being unapologetically me. Why am I catering my life to these few people who, you know, I'm never going to win over?
Mm-hmm.
They don't like me for whatever reason. And that's fine. That's okay. Not everybody's going to like you. And it gets to, then you accept that and then you come back and then all of a sudden you get like tore down again. And it's just like, it's a vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cycle.
And I don't think this is an exclusive problem to us. I mean,
no.
We could be talking about you guys that are on Facebook, just talking to family members. Mm-hmm. Or if you make any comments at all or have any kind of opinion at all right now, anywhere socially, you're going to get tagged for that, right? So this is not just a radio, a bunch of people on the radio complaining about some complaints that they get. This happens in everybody's life now.
God forbid you go viral. You go viral and that's like one, that's honestly one of my worst nightmares.
So I think it can be applied to anything, like you guys said. And it's funny you say go viral because that's kind of what got me to really snap out of it. Because, you know, I think, like I was talking to my mentor and I was telling him what I was going through. And I remember two things he said that stuck out to me was, one was, did living for people get you here? And I said, no. And he said, then why do you think living for people is going to get you where you're going? Ooh. And he also said, a lot of time in life, that one thing that you're not doing or you're holding back because you're doubting yourself or because you're afraid of what people will say and think, that is probably the one thing that's going to change your life, whatever that one thing is. And I feel like so many people have that one thing that you just, whatever reason, you're just not doing it. And when it got to that point, I came across this post that once I prayed for a sign of how do I snap out of this? And the post said, be impossible to ignore. Like, that should be your goal. Mm-hmm. Don't hold yourself back because of what people will do or will say. Shine in that light. Get in front of that light. Be you and let people take it however they take it. That's not your responsibility how they react to it. You just do you and be you. And I went into my notes and I had this series of videos where I would make like comic jokes about songs that we never got answers to, like songs that just left us with questions. And it was funny to me because when I looked at the date of the video, I had made these videos 2 years ago from the day that I saw the notepad, and I never released the videos. I never did it. I wrote it down and then I completely backed out of it and was like, nah, I don't even think this is funny. Like, I'm not doing this. I go through that a lot, especially like right before I have a show. Like, it's like 10 minutes before you go on stage as a comedian, you completely don't think you're funny anymore. You're like, what the hell am I doing? Like, this doesn't make sense. So you go through those phases. And I remembered that post about, no, do it. Like, whatever it is, do it. And I told myself, I made a promise to myself that for this entire year, whatever it is, I'm just going to do it. However it goes, I'm doing it. And then whatever happens will happen. And sure enough, I was like, 2 years ago, I was supposed to make this post. I'm going to do it now. And I did it on the 2 year anniversary of me creating it. And I posted it. And literally, I think I went back to it maybe 6 or 7 hours later. And it had like 500 views or something. And I was like, I knew it sucked. And I was going to delete it. Like, genuinely, I was going to delete it. And my lady was like, don't do that. Give it 24 hours. Mm-hmm. You just posted it. At least give it 24 hours. And I said, okay, I gave it 24 hours. And when I woke up or when I looked at it, I think at that point it was at like 20,000 views already. Wow. Just that quick. Mm-hmm. And now, fast forward a couple weeks later, they've done over 5 million views. Wow. Across social media. And it just, for me, it literally felt like 5 million reasons why you need to just do it.
Oh, that's nice.
Just do it.
Now, we could end on a nice high there, but of course I won't let that happen. So I'm glad you were brave enough to talk about this, because I've had something on my mind that I wanted to talk about also, but I thought, you know what? I don't think I got the guts to do it, but it ties into what you're talking about. I have really been thinking lately that this industry has passed me by, and I have really sort of been wondering, like, can I continue to do the kind of radio that I want to do that motivates me in a world that now is so politically correct and so mainstream, right? There was a time back in the day with morning shows where you would come in here like in the 80s and 90s. It was all a bunch of like, they were zoos back in the day, right? They used to call them like the breakfast flakes or the zoos.
The morning zoo.
Honk, honk, beep, beep, and a whole bunch of dad jokes. And then everybody laughs and you get out. The industry evolved into more personality radio, right? Which is what we do. So we came into town and the shows that were doing that just felt outdated. And the guys and women that couldn't evolve ended up getting out of radio, right? So I'm wondering if I am in that phase right now, because our industry has changed so much where you have to be so mainstream and you can't be even a little bit, you can't even say offensive. You can't say any jokes and you can't take risks anymore without losing a whole bunch of listeners, which is what we are based on, right? We had an entire fan discussion group, which is based on our P1s, the most hardcore listeners that love this show, deleted their, one woman was so offended by something that happened on the show because it hit her to the core that she deleted that fan discussion, the support group, based on one thing that happened. And right after that, I thought, I just might be a guy that even at my age might be too edgy to do morning radio anymore, man, because it doesn't fire me up to come in here and say politically correct things all the time and just do bits that don't have any meaning. But it seems to me like mainstream radio is going that way that I kind of feel like maybe I'm a dinosaur.
Like it's playing it too safe?
Like that's where the ratings are now. The ratings now with things that have changed in our industry is play a lot of music, talk for 60 seconds, get out and do something else and talk about things that are superficial and then get out. That's never what we've done. Never. And it's not creatively what I got into this industry for. And it still doesn't fire me up. But if we want ratings and we want to do well in our industry, I sort of have to go in that direction and it doesn't do anything. So I've been having the same thoughts that you just verbalized. It's just like, maybe it's just, I think I'm kind of a dinosaur and maybe this isn't the place for me anymore.
Well, so to what you're saying, and you and I have both been doing this the longest. So, you know, I've been in morning radio for 20 years. So I've seen the evolution of it. And I'm torn because in some aspects, you know, before I would go in, I never thought twice about what I said on the air. Right. Like, you know, when I started doing this like 20 years ago on my previous morning show, you just went in, you said what you wanted to say and you didn't think twice about it. Whereas now I'm very hyper aware and I will have intentional pauses because I know you can say one wrong thing and you are canceled. Like it's literally like your entire career is hinging on the words that are coming out of your mouth.
And this could be in anybody in any office. This is not just a radio thing.
Correct.
You could be a salesperson in any office. You say one thing, and I think it's just making everybody very cocooned.
But also, I also do love how radio has evolved because there are things we did 20 years ago that I am not proud of. You know what I mean?
That's for sure. Right?
So it's weird. It's like it is like this double-edged sword. Like I do feel like I have to walk on eggshells. However, I do feel like we needed some sensitivity and that we were a-holes in some of the things that we did. And I'm glad that stuff doesn't fly. I'm glad the hustle culture has been called out and that people don't do things just because they feel like they have to, but rather because they want to. So I feel like there has been an evolution in radio for good, but it also with good comes bad.
Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I don't know about you guys, but I think it's even harder when you offend people when your intentions are always good. Because then you second guess it even more.
And you kind of feel like you almost build a resume of credibility with people. So if you do get marked by somebody for doing something offensive, you would think that they would look at the last 5 years or 10 years. But it's really not like that anymore. It's like we're living in a society now where if I don't agree with you, then I hate you. And I don't want to see you anymore. It's not, you don't get any kind of leeway anymore.
It's exactly that. And it's like my coach used to say, you can't play the game afraid to make mistakes.
Yes.
Right? And it's like, that's what it kind of forces you to do.
And that's what it feels like.
And when I'm walking in the door now, that's how I feel. And it just doesn't, it feels almost like podcasting is where I should be right now. You guys, I'm not speaking for the rest of the show, but it's with a heavy heart that I have been really thinking about this, that maybe I'm just one of those guys that, much like the past, that couldn't evolve and do personality radio. Maybe I can't do this. I'm not the guy that can talk for 60 seconds about really superficial things and get out and hope not to offend anybody at all, yeah?
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two forts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot. but it's called a not-not.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.